Palm Sunday. Obviously, the main image that we have on this Sunday is that of the palm, this sign of celebration and welcome. I did think it was a little ironic. Did you notice in Luke's gospel what was missing? There weren't any palms. Did you notice? They spread cloaks instead. The gospels all differ a bit on what the people actually did. Some of them say they put cloaks and branches down on the ground and waved branches, and some of them just mention the branches. But isn't it interesting that we call it Palm Sunday, although if all we had was Luke's account, maybe we'd call this Cloak Sunday. Anyway, all of this is sign of celebration to welcome Jesus, like rolling out the red carpet, spreading your cloaks, or waving the branches in celebration. And yet, I must admit, I often find myself kind of feeling ambiguous on this Palm Sunday, kind of mixed emotions. Sure, this moment is a moment of joy as Jesus enters Jerusalem and everyone's rejoicing. But of course, we have the value of 2,000 years of hindsight. We know what's coming next. That as crowds often do, 1 minute they can be yelling in celebration, and the next moment they can be screaming in anger, as this crowd of Palm Sunday will do by the end of the week. I find Palm Sunday a rather ambiguous. I'm not always sure I know exactly what to feel in the midst of this celebration. I wonder if that's how Jesus felt as well. Even though the image of this day, at least the primary image, is this waving palm of joy. But the image that's been going through my mind a lot this week is not the palm. It's another image that actually occurs in both of our readings this morning. It is the image of a stone. And this image is much more ambiguous, perhaps, than the palm. Did you notice in Luke's gospel, near the end of the account, the Pharisees are a little upset, as I think Pharisees tended to be, and maybe it's true still today. The Pharisees tend to be generally upset about things. In this case, they're upset because of all this hubbub and commotion, you know, on an otherwise nice, quiet Sunday morning there in Jerusalem, that these crowds are yelling and waving branches, according to some, or spreading cloaks, or whatever it is they're doing, and the Pharisees, who more and more when I read about Pharisees, I keep thinking, boy, they're good Presbyterians. They're concerned about decency and orderness. The crowd is making too much hubbub, Jesus. Quiet them down. And Jesus says, if the crowd was silent, even the stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out. I find that a fascinating thing to say. For one thing, I've been to Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, the walls. There are still stones from this time there, huge, massive stones. And so I think about these stones crying out. But what would they cry out? Now, maybe the stones would be crying out with joy and celebration like the crowd is at this moment. Hooray, Jesus has come to Jerusalem. And yet that phrase, the stones would cry out. When I hear cry out, it makes me think of maybe a cry of pain or suffering. Or the cry that I often make sometimes when I'm in the sanctuary and I do most of my preparation or some of it wandering around the sanctuary. And so if it's darker in here and it's evening and I often wander and go, oh, ow! And I cry out in pain. It's kind of ambiguous. What would the stones be crying out if the crowds were silent? Would it be a cry of joy? Would it be a cry of anguish, knowing what is coming? Maybe the stones like Jesus, like us, know what is coming? Kind of ambiguous. And so is the other reference to stones. This in the psalm, which says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Now, to our Christian ears, 2,000 years later, that clearly seems a reference to Jesus, the cornerstone. Jesus, the very foundation, the very thing we need for the building of our lives to hang together. The cornerstone, the foundation. As Jesus is mentioned as rock so many times. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And yet notice it's a stone that was rejected by the builders. Those who are building need this stone, and yet they reject it. Could that refer to us? The very thing we need in our lives to build joyous, happy lives, and it's the very thing that we reject, push aside? The cornerstone, and yet rejected. That's exactly what's going to happen to Jesus in the week ahead. Welcomed one moment, rejected the next. It's kind of an ambiguous image, this stone. And then, of course, I begin to think of the other references to stones in the Bible. I mean, sure, stones can be used to build grand temples. And yet, stones are also used in the Bible as a weapon to kill. And although that's one of the few things that's going to be done to Jesus by the end of the week, even Jesus is threatened with stoning a few times in the Gospels. This image that at one moment means certainty, the cornerstone, this certainty can also become a weapon, sort of like certainty can become even today. It's an ambiguous image. And then it brings me back to the palm. Even the palm is an ambiguous image if we really think about it. Where do palm branches come from? Trees. A tree will be used to a very different purpose by the end of this week. Those branches being waved will be akin to the place where those nails will be pounded on Friday. And even the image in the psalm, did you notice there is an image in the psalm to palms, the festal procession, waving branches up to the altar. What's an altar used for? Sacrifice. So even this joyous procession of branches in the psalm, say that three times fast. Even this procession, festive, we are told, is going to a place of sacrifice, an altar. Palm branches, trees, a cross, all pretty ambiguous. All, to my mind, bring mixed emotions on this Palm Sunday as we celebrate and yet know what is ahead. And so we enter this Holy Week with palms and stones and mixed emotions, as it should be, as Jesus himself, I suspect, did. Amen.